And in a bit of good news, cancer death rates have dropped by one third since 1991. That's about 3.8 million lives not lost over the past three decades, according to a new report by the American Cancer Society. Now, if you're thinking that this improved outcome is due to some amazing medical breakthroughs from the last 30 years, think again. Here to tell us more about the surprising reasons behind this improved outcome is Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Derek, welcome back to Here and Now.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So this is a pretty big achievement considering cancer is the second leading cause of death in the US behind heart disease. What are the factors driving this decline in the cancer mortality rates?
It's an extraordinary achievement. I've written a lot about America's problems with longevity. We live shorter lives than many similarly rich countries. But this is a rare piece of really clearly and unambiguously fantastic news. When I first read the news story written up in the Wall Street Journal, my initial assumption was that this achievement was the result of medical breakthroughs. But as I read deeper into the report, I realized that wasn't fully the case. As it turns out, it's more behavioral changes and increased screenings for cancers like prostate cancer that seem to be the most important reasons why cancer mortality is falling. In particular, the decline of smoking throughout the 20th century seems to be pulling down lung cancer deaths, especially among men, by a lot. And that, I think, is really driving the decline in cancer mortality.
Yeah, and I mean, people just didn't just stop smoking. There was a very concerted effort to get them to do that, right?
That's a really good point. Smoking declined from a historic high of about 4,500 cigarettes per person per year in 1963. That, by the way, is enough for every adult to have more than half a pack a day. That declined by more than 50% by the end of the century, and it's just fallen with every passing decade. And that was the result of Surgeon General warnings. It was the result of changes to advertising norms and rules. There was a big concerted effort from the top, from the federal government all the way down to ordinary societal behaviors to make Americans smoke less. And Americans smoked less and less by the decade. And cancer mortality for things like lung and bronchial cancers, which tend to follow smoking habits, came down as well. And so we should continue to see gains in longer lives from fewer lung deaths for the next few decades, because young people today and middle-aged people today smoke so much less than their parents and grandparents did.
Yeah. The flip side, though, is let's take the case of pancreatic cancer. Not so easy to stamp out through like a public awareness campaign, because the causes are somewhat mysterious, right?
You put it very well. Pancreatic cancer is notoriously difficult to screen. It's notoriously difficult because there tend to be very few symptoms until you get to stage four, at which point it is extremely mortal. And that's why I think if you look at a graph of something like lung cancer versus pancreatic cancer over the last 100 years, pancreatic cancer looks like a flat line in terms of its mortality. We have made almost no progress when it comes to the mortality rate of pancreatic cancer. Meanwhile, lung cancer goes all the way up. It like goes up by like a factor of 50 because of lung cancer deaths in the middle and end of the 20th century, and then comes down. So it's like this big mountain compared to a plain. And this goes to the point that when we say cancer, what we're referring to is not a single disease, but a group of diseases marked by the growth of abnormal cells. And different cancers have very, very different histories.
I mean, let's just stay on pancreatic for one more second, because you did say it's notoriously difficult to screen for, but screening is part of the decrease, though it's a bit contentious among doctors. And you write about how diagnoses of advanced prostate cancer have surged since 2010. Why is that?
Yeah, this is a complicated story, but I'll try to tell it quickly. Basically, in the 1990s, doctors started using a new kind of prostate-specific cancer screening. And this period between the 1990s and 2010s coincided with a decline in prostate cancer mortality. But a lot of people recognized that these tests were turning up false alarms. They're turning up asymptomatic cases that would never have become full-blown cancers. So the federal government discouraged these prostate screenings for men in the 2010s. But since then, the situation has gotten worse. Prostate cancers have surged for men. So I think this goes to a really important question facing America Americans going forward, which is how do we screen? How do we scan? There's going to be a lot more blood tests that come down the pike that we can use at home to potentially screen for cancers. How do we do this responsibly to catch the diseases that can kill us and not freak out about certain abnormal cell growths that are never going to affect our health?
That sounds really hard, but we only have a few seconds left. So do you think the question then is spending more money and resources on the kind of public awareness type campaigns or on the screenings or on the cure?
I would love more money to be spent on quite a lot of this, but you know, given that money is scarce, I would say I would love a moonshot for cancer screenings. A moonshot for cancer screenings and tests might be the most important front in the future war on cancer.
All right. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Derek, thank you.
Thank you.